Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Corey Johnson, one of the teaching pastors here at Shelter Rock Church, and thank you for coming out on this rainy morning. Amen. Church would not be the same without you. Trust me, I know. I want to say happy Mother's Day to my mom, who's in the house this morning. Mom, could you stand? Yeah. She looks like my sister, but she's my mom. I'm very grateful for her because when we were growing up, she instilled in us the fruits of my faith. And that's why I'm able to stand before you this morning. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, moms. Amen. For the past several weeks, we've been looking at this series. We've been in the series called I See You. And what we've been doing is that we've been looking at several passages of Scripture and seeing where Jesus has encounter with several individuals and where the passage explicitly states that Jesus saw someone. And we've been exploring what that encounter looks like. And so this morning, as we're going to continue in that passage, and it's going to be a very interesting topic because you're going to see some things here that probably might rub you the wrong way, if you will, but nonetheless, it's the Word of God, and we as a church, we believe whatever the Scripture tells us, amen, and teaches us, amen. And so this morning, we're going to dive right into it. Is that all right? If you have your Bibles with me, could you turn to Luke chapter 13? We're going to be reading from verse 10 to verse 17, but this morning, as a church, we typically look at the NIV translation. We're just going to look at the King James translation here, the New King James translation here. And the reason why I selected that was because of the wording is a little bit more consistent as we're going through this morning. Is that all right?
Amen.
All right. So it says, now he, meaning Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loose from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. Can you imagine that? The pastor of the church getting upset because somebody was healed. Okay, I'll leave that alone. Okay. And he said to the crowd, notice who he directed his response to. It wasn't to Jesus, but rather to the crowd. He said, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? When he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were being done by him. Amen. Amen. Could you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house this morning. We thank you, God, because in this country we have freedom of assembly, and it is wonderful to know that people of God, people who have a desire, people who are seeking you, are still coming to the house of God. And so this morning as we come, God, under the teaching of your word, we ask that your spirit, oh God, will break the portion of bread that is for us this morning. Father God, there are numerous needs and numerous conditions in this house this morning. So God, we ask that you will speak to each one of us individually and even as a family this morning. We ask, oh God, that your spirit will open up our hearts and our minds to be receptive to your word. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this morning, the topic that we want to deal with is shackled. Shackled. In other words, Jesus, it is, I see you shackled. Quite often when we think about, you know, somebody being shackled or when we think of an image of shackles, we normally think of these metal chains, you know, these metal things that are in chains. And when you really think of a shackle, the purpose of a shackle is really to limit your mobility. It's really to hinder you from moving forward. It's really to hinder you from growing or from expanding or reaching your maximum potential. When you think about a shackle, it is something that is chained to you, that and no matter how strong you are, you can't release yourself from it because of the strength of the shackle. It's something that has you bound. Amen? And quite often when we think about shackles and we think about bondage, the image that comes to mind is automatically slavery. And a lot of times we think that, you know, slavery was done away with years and years ago, and it's far into our 21st century idea of what humanity is. But the reality is that many people today, they're still living in slavery and they're still bound. Amen? Amen. And so, you know, for some of us, you know, we might not have physical chains on us, but because of our health conditions, we're bound. For some of us, we might not have physical chain on us, but because of our educational situation, we're bound. For some of us, we might not have chains on our hands or on our feet, but because of our financial situations, we are bound. Amen. But may I say to you this morning that whatever state you're in, Jesus can set you free. Amen. 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 So this morning, we're going to look at the teaching, and we're going to spend a lot of time in this one particular passage of Scripture because we want to unpack some truths here. So let's look at Luke chapter 13, and we're going to spend some time here. It says here that now he, referring to Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And this was Jesus' custom. Whenever he went through a town and there was a synagogue, he would go through and he would teach. But the synagogue is not the same thing as a temple. The temple was in Jerusalem. Right? But a synagogue is something similar to this setting where you would have a local gathering of people in a community, and they would come together and they would worship on a particular day. Right? So you could basically say we're in a synagogue. It would be in a setting like this, if you will, that this situation took place. And the Bible says, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. The author of this gospel is Luke, and Luke is a doctor. And if there's anything you understand about when Luke writes, he writes with precision. Because as a doctor, how many of us know that you have to be precise? Oh boy, you don't want to be doing a surgery on your leg and it's just any leg. You want to make sure that it is the right leg, right? Right? So as a doctor, you need to be precise. And so whenever Luke's right, you see this precision in his writing. And so as we think about this idea of shackles, we said earlier that shackles are not only physical, but shackles could be financial, shackles could be educational, if you will. But right here, we're going to see a type of shackle which is spiritual in nature. The Bible says that this woman, she had a spirit of infirmity. And in other words, she was bound, she was shackled by a spirit. And there are several things I want to bring out here. The first thing is that spiritual shackles are real. They are real. Quite often in our 21st century, we think of, you know, we're so advanced in our technology, but there are certain things that happen around us and to us that find its root in the spirit. And the Bible tells us here that she had a spirit of infirmity. Spiritual shackles are real. The other thing that we see here is that spiritual shackles, they are strong. They are strong. The Bible tells me here that she had the spirit of infirmity for how long? All right, if you're not going to preach with me, I'm going to stay up here by myself. How long?
18.
How long?
18.
Many of us can hardly deal with a situation for 5 minutes, much less 18 years. But what's interesting here is that the Bible tells me that not only that she had a spiritual infirmity, but it tells us how it afflicted her. The Bible says that she was what? Bent over, and in no way could she raise herself up. She couldn't. no matter how she tried, because the spiritual infirmity, the spiritual condition that she was in, it was strong. Can we unpack this a little bit more? Even though this woman is in this condition, I like her. I like her. Because she did not allow her spiritual situation or her affliction to prevent her from coming to the place of worship. And quite often when we're struggling with things, we want to stay home. We want to stay away from the place that we can be a blessing or we can find a blessing. But this woman refused to stay home. She found herself in a place of worship, even though she was all bent over. Do you see that? She was a worshiper. She wanted to be around the fragrance of worship. She wanted to be around the people of God, enjoying God, even though she was being afflicted. And the question I have for you is, whenever you're going through your stuff, can you worship God amidst your affliction? Because quite often it is very easy for us to worship God, isn't it? When, oh man, he's given us a car. He's given us a house. He's given us that beautiful wife or that beautiful husband who's cut, ripped. And, you know, you can come to church and praise God. But can you praise God when all hell is breaking loose? That's the difference, isn't it? This woman, she was a worshiper. I like this woman too because she was persistent. She kept coming. She kept coming to church. Even though she was bent over, she kept coming to church. And the reason why I like her is because her situation was visible, wasn't it? And I'm thinking about this woman, I'm like, I don't know when she got afflicted, but I can imagine that if she was married, her husband might have divorced her. She was bent over. If she wasn't married, chances are she would not have gotten married, because no one wants to marry a person who is bent over. If she had children, children might have deserted her, because no one wants to be associated with somebody who is. And if she had hopes and dreams of having children, there was no way she was going to have children because she was bent over. What's also interesting here, so you get a sense of her family dynamic. Can you, what about her social life? Can you imagine what conversations would look like if you have a person that you're trying to talk to and they're all bent over? You see, back then the roads weren't paved as they are right now. And so, you know, they had a lot of dust on the road. And can you imagine that this person is making her way to church and people are running by her and all the dust from the ground is just in her face because she's all bent over. You see, there's something about being able to stand up straight, isn't there? So much so that if you have a child or a son or a daughter and they're walking around with their heads bent down, what do you say to them? Son or daughter, lift your head up, because there's certain dignity that comes with walking straight. But this woman, she's lost all that. All hopes, all dreams, all her dignity. But yet, she still came to church. She still came to church. What's also interesting about this text is that there's nothing in the text that suggests that she was coming to church to be healed. She was just coming to church to be a part of the family of God. She was just coming to church to experience God's presence. And isn't that what it's all about? God, I can come, and even if you don't heal me, I'll still love you. Even if you don't do anything for me, I will still worship you, because you're God and God alone. Amen? Spiritual shackles, they are real. Spiritual shackles, they are strong, but spiritual shackles can be broken. Somebody should have shouted right there, but I'll leave that alone. Spiritual shackles can be broken. Amen? Amen? I'm told that elephants, when they're being trained, they take these baby elephants from their very young And what they do is that they tie a rope around their ankle or their foot, and they, you know, attach it to a peg. And this elephant, even though it's young, it tends to be weak, and so every time it tugs on it, it realizes that it cannot go any further. And so now, over years and years, it is conditioned not to pull anymore. And so you can have this beast who grows to be an adult, and man, if he swings too hard, he can really do some damage. But because he's been conditioned, you're looking at this beast and say, how is it that that little rope can hold him? He's been conditioned. But may I suggest to you that when it comes to us as believers, and when it comes to us as being children of God, we're not trying to break free from those things that bind us in our strength. We're not trying to do this in our name, but we're standing firm and we're standing strong in the name of Jesus, because it is the name of Jesus that breaks every yoke. It is Jesus that breaks every chain. Amen? And so, as this woman is in church, nobody's paying her attention. Jesus comes along the scene. He's teaching. All of a sudden, he stops teaching and focuses on this woman. And there are several things we see. And the first thing is that Jesus, as he focuses on this woman, he affirmed her value. He affirmed her value. You're no longer lost in the crowd. You're no longer one among many. You are unique, and I see you. The Bible says here in verse 12 that when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And this notion of infirmity, this word for infirmity really means weakness, a struggle. No strength is there. Jesus looses her from her infirmity. And this is awkward for Jesus to be doing this. He's breaking traditions, because Jesus, as a rabbi, he shouldn't be calling out to a woman in public, especially in church. He breaks the mold, calls her to himself, speaks to her publicly, and releases her from the thing that has her bound. Jesus restores her value. I see you. You are valuable. It doesn't tell me that a lot of people got healed here. Maybe Jesus just came through just for her. And isn't that how Jesus operates? He will come through just for amidst the crowd. Yes, there are a lot of people here, but he will come through just for you, because you are valuable to him. Amen? Jesus affirmed her value. The second thing I see here is that Jesus renewed her strength. She was weak. She was so weak from this infirmity that she was bent over and she could in no way raise herself up. She was weak. But Jesus does something here. The Bible says that Jesus stretches out his hands and he touched her. Unorthodox again. You don't touch a woman in public. You're a rabbi. You don't do that. Right? But the Bible tells me here in verse 13 that Jesus laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight. In other words, she received strength. The Bible always, you know, there's a particular scripture where the Bible tells us about a woman who was hemorrhaging. She was losing blood. And the Bible said, she made up in her mind, "If I could but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole." And the Bible says that as soon as she touched the hem, she didn't even touch Jesus, she touched the hem of his garment. The Bible says that power left him, so much so that Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Because it was a touch of faith. And I can just imagine that when Jesus touched this woman, she felt strength, power enter her body. And all of a sudden, the thing that had her bound was loose. Hello, somebody. Yes, spiritual bondage, even though they are strong, they can be broken. Amen? The last thing I see here is not only does Jesus affirms her value, not only does Jesus renew her strength, but Jesus restores her identity. And isn't that important? When you're going through some things, you can become identified by the condition you're in. Oh, brother so-and-so, who is? Oh, that person there who is a leper, that person who is lame, that person there who is weak, that person who is a thief, that person there that is struggling. You can become identified by your weakness. But Jesus here restores her identity. Let's look at the text, verse 14. It says, "But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, 'There are 6 days on which men or people ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath.'" My question to this guy is, if I'm working, how can I come to the synagogue? It's not as though these people had extra stored up. They had to work. That's a subject for another day. Verse 15 says, "The Lord answered him and said, 'Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it?'" Let's tease this out a little bit. Jesus is saying here that you're saying to this crowd, do not come on the Sabbath to be healed. But yet you have donkeys, you have ox, right? And if they're thirsty for just a couple of hours, you feel so guilty. You feel so, my goodness, you go and you loose them and you bring them to water. In other words, you break the Sabbath for an animal, yet you're not willing to break the Sabbath for a human being. There's something not right there. Do you see what is going on here? It says, "So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham," she's not a Gentile, she's not an outcast, no, she's a daughter of Abraham. In other words, she's your sister. "Being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound," think of it, "for 18 years, not for a few hours, not for a few minutes, but for 18 years, be loose from the bond on the Sabbath." In other words, Jesus is saying, don't let your religious tradition trump the human condition. Because sometimes we elevate our doctrine and our religious duties above the human need. And Jesus was always correcting them and saying, listen, the man was not created for Sabbath, but Sabbath was created for man. And if you get those twisted, you're going to elevate the Sabbath above the human condition. And Jesus is saying that the human condition always is of highest precedence. Amen? It matters most. Amen? And look at this too. Ox and donkeys were what they call beasts of burdens. In other words, they carried burdens. They carried stuff. You would lay it on them and they would carry it without any complaint. They were beasts of burden. And Jesus is saying that this woman here, she's been carrying a burden. She has been carrying a burden for 18 years. And what better day to lay down that burden than on the Sabbath? What better day? What better day to lay down that burden than on the Sabbath? And so this morning, as we're wrapping this up, you know, we might look at this story and say, man, that is foreign to me, Pastor. I don't. Spiritual stuff. But the reality is that if you really examine where you are, the reality is you have a burden that you're carrying. You have something in your life that has you bound. And the language we use today is, oh, I have a weakness. Oh, I'm struggling in this area. Have you ever used that term? Am I the only one? Don't leave me hanging. Am I the only one? Oh, man, I just can't get victory over that. I'm struggling. Oh, I'm just weak in that area. No, that's a bondage. And Jesus wants to release you from it. Amen? For some of us, it's anger. For some of it, it's lust. For some of us, it's just this desire for more. It's a burden. It's a shackle. It's a bond. And it's hampering. It's weighing you down. But this morning, Jesus wants to release you from it. Amen? Amen. So what has you bound today? What is that one area in your life that if you really shine light on it, you can say, Pastor, I am truly weak in that area? What is that one area that has you bound today? Jesus is here to set you free. Amen? Here's a song we used to sing when we were younger. It says, Jesus is here right now. He's here to set the captives free. He's here to set you free. Yes, Jesus is here right now. And so, if you don't mind, could you stand with me this morning? I don't know what it is you're faced with this morning, but Jesus is here to set you free. I don't know what it is that is going on in your heart, the battle that you have, but if there's that area of weakness, that area of struggling, Jesus wants to set you free from that. And for some of us, we're like, oh, I'm good. I can't see anything. The reality is that our greatest shackle, our greatest bondage is being in sin. And the Bible tells me that Jesus, he went on the cross and he took on our infirmity. He took on our weakness. He took on our sin and he nailed it to the cross so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Yeah. Question is, do you want to be set free? If you want to be free, Jesus is here right now. Bow your heads with me. Bow your heads with me. Bow your heads with me. As you're thinking through your life and as you're thinking through the trajectory of your life, where are you with Jesus this morning? Is he on the outside of your life or is he part and parcel? Is he walking with you? Is he talking with you? It makes a difference. If you have not made a conscious decision for Jesus Christ, today is your day. You don't have to put it off another second. You don't have to put it off another year. You don't have to put it off another 18 years. You can make that decision for him today. It's as simple as this. Could you bow your heads with me? It's as simple as this. Lord, pray this prayer with me if that's you. If you have not made a conscious decision for Jesus Christ, just pray this prayer with me. Lord, I thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ. I believe with my heart that God has raised him from the dead. I believe that he was crucified for my sins. And God, I am sorry for all the things I've committed in my life. And from this day forward, I want to live for you. Come into my heart, Lord, as I invite you in. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed a prayer like that, the Bible tells me that you're saved. It's not a, you know, we try to throw a party and everything like that, but guess what? You're saved. Yes. And so it's a matter of us walking with you and talking with you and partnering with you to say, now you've started on a new journey. Let us walk together and show you how you can gain victory in all these areas of your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Greg.